There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, number 162. All right, guys, one announcement and one announcement only in two parts. Part the first, February 17th, I am coming to New York to record my first hour-long stand-up comedy special for Comedy Central. I shit my pants about it a little more each day, but I promise by February 17th, I will be hosed off and shit free. So please come out. We're taping it at the Skirball Center near NYU, which holds about 800 people. So I would like it to be 800 of you guys. So bring your friends, bring your cousins, fuck, bring your whole family. I just want you guys there so that it'll just be more of a fun experience. Because, you know, when you're taping your special, you don't want a bunch of people in the audience going, who the fuck is that guy? It just helps. And so we'll all be there together. We'll get through this together, you guys. And then afterwards we'll hug and then we'll cry and then laugh. And then I don't know what happens after that. But this is really important to me. And I just would love to have you there. So tickets are free, absolutely free. And you can go to nerdist.com/calendar and just look where it says February 17th and click on the link and sign up for tickets. Part the second for this announcement is that the Nerdist Podcast has just announced May 4th, we are coming back to the Wilbur Theater in Boston. Matt and Jonah weren't there the last time, but now they will be. We are doing Nerdist Podcast live in Boston, May 4th at the Wilbur. There'll probably be some sort of Anna's Taqueria run, because Matt won't shut up unless there is. And so that's it. That's also at nerdist.com/calendar. Both events, nerdist.com/calendar. Thank you so much for letting me sell my wares at your ears. And I really appreciate it. So here we go, the Nerdist Podcast, number 162, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You're
both flanneled.
This is not flannel. This is just a shirt.
Oh. Actually, no, that's
it's
a
like flannel. A light. It's like a.
Is a thick cotton like or a light flannel?
It really came.
That's the thing everyone always everyone will call plaid flannel. It's not.
It's flannel's flannel a material. Yeah, flannel's a material that seems like it would make good sheets, but then your sweaty balls tell you otherwise.
Your sweaty balls talk to you?
Yeah.
Matt, please get me a tissue or something.
I think it sounds more like.
I need a little baby powder.
I need to wipe the sweat off my ball brow.
Too much gold bond.
Well, now that the podcast audience has been treated to that image.
That was my microphone I just cut out.
What'd you do?
I just hit the wrong button.
That's okay.
I'm a poor button pusher, it turns out.
But an excellent podcaster.
Well, thank you. Let's go to the mailbag.
Oh, it's great.
I got
some
mail.
Oh, he's got a bag. He's got a plastic bag.
Useless mail today. What did people send me? Because I was on a list.
Get that great book by Robin Hobb.
I like how we always get to see what Chris gets sent
for free.
Whoops.
It's one of my favorite things.
Oh.
I get sent things for free now,
too. What do you get?
I'm on book lists. I get weird books that I don't understand why they would send them to me.
I got a record sent to me by this band from Long Beach called Cyril. It was some pretty awesome hardcore stuff.
Like a physical, like a record?
They sent me a record, and then they sent me a disc version of it as well.
Cool.
It was crazy, crazy good stuff.
8-track?
They also sent me an 8-track and a wax cylinder of that was just a single.
Yeah. Watson, come in here. I need you.
Thank you.
All right. What did I get today? What's the Chris Hardwick list bag, which is basically I got City of Dragons by Robin Hobb. I'm just assuming that's how he talks. Volume 3 of the Rain Wilds Chronicles. Ooh, Volume 3.
You haven't heard of Volume 1 or 2?
Yes, they're on my reading shelf. All right, so...
You made that up. You don't even have a bookshelf.
You
don't. I've seen your place.
I don't anymore. My old house had a couple of them.
Oh, yeah, way to bring up that, Matt.
Now they belong to someone else.
Matt, there you go again.
To be fair, they were her bookshelves.
Matt, stop bringing it up.
What else did I get? Oh, Patrice O'Neill's album, Mr. P. God damn it.
Wow. Rest in peace, Patrice.
It's fucking not right that he's not alive anymore. Anyway, This is actually something I will take home and listen to.
Who sent you that? Is that Comedy Central Records?
I don't know. I don't know who sent this out. It's just a press kit, yeah. Mr. P, Patrice O'Neill. God damn it.
That was great.
I got a volume 1, issue 1 of a magazine called Nerd Night, N-I-T-E. A physical magazine of...
That's what nerds are into.
Yep.
Physical things.
Yep. That's it. Well, I like the first page. It's a picture of a dog, and it said, "What's that girl? Pythagoras fell down a well?" All right, I like it. What else did I get? Married with Zombies. The couple who slays together stays together.
Probably true.
Love and zombies.
The stress of a zombie apocalypse could tear apart any strong relationship.
And also ignite animal lust passion.
I think so, yeah.
With someone that you might never get to put things
someone
in if you just met them
thing.
In normal society. Something. Who knows? After a while. Are we going with the story that in Castaway that Tom Hanks' character did not fuck Wilson because...
Stayed inflated. I don't know what you're talking about. No way he could
partially inflated.
It floated away.
It was
inflated. Pretty inflated.
It was just full of straw.
Straw or cum? Straw.
Both. You need to hold the straw together.
Okay, good. That's how the three little pigs kept the... The first house was just made of straw and cum.
Disgusting.
Married with Zombies looks like a book about a couple who fight zombies.
When was the last time we did a Hostful?
It's the DC show.
Oh.
It feels like that was months ago, but it was just a couple weeks.
It really does feel like it was months ago.
Yeah, it does feel like a long time.
Wow.
Went back to the wedding.
You went
back to the wedding.
Time is marching on at an accelerated rate.
Re-entering Jamaica?
Coming back, it wasn't as bad. No, it was fine.
They don't mind if you smuggle stuff into Jamaica.
Were you worried that they were going to be like... You were just here, man, 2 days ago.
No, it was the American customs when I was going to DC in Miami, and they were like, "How long were you in Jamaica?" I was like, "About a day." No. Oh.
And then you went to DC. Well, okay, I know that sounds wrong.
Everything about it sounded wrong.
I'm not building a terrorist cell. I have a podcast. Yeah. That sounds like a fake thing.
Yeah, I had to. Yeah, I didn't even mention the podcast. I was like, "What do you do for a living?" I was like, "I'm a writer." And they're like, "What show?" And I wanted to be like, "What does it matter?" And then I said to the guy, I said, "The Soup." And he's like, "Oh, that has that guy from Community, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yes, it does. But why are you going to DC?" "I'm a stand-up." "Well, you just said you were a writer."
God, that's so irritating.
Yeah, it was all that. It was all them.
You mean he doesn't understand the intricacies and nuances of how the entertainment business careers work?
That was a very confusing question to answer, too, when we went to Canada for the Montreal thing. I was just like, "What do you do?" And I was like, "I work at Apple." And I was like, "What are you doing here?" It's like, "I'm doing a live show." It's like, "But you work at Apple?" I was like, "I also do a podcast."
I can have more than one job, Mr. TSA officer.
Yeah, that takes over your
life.
In
today's economy, it's essential.
It's not TSA, though, when you're doing customs.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, that's Border Patrol. That's the Department of Homeland Security.
BP. Yes, even worse.
That's right. I just do a podcast about terrorism.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, sure. Come on in.
Against it, right? Oh, sure. All right.
Yeah, some of the time. Yeah, sure. What do you want?
Some things I learned in Jamaica. There are three different types of red stripe.
What?
There's red stripe light, and red stripe bold, which is 7% alcohol.
Do they all have the same Christ. Bottle
yeah.
size?
What?
Like they all the same little short
that little
bottle?
Snub nose.
No. Red stripe
Charles
bold.
Charles Durning shaped bottle.
Red stripe bold is actually like a normal bottle style.
Cool.
And it's really good. It's really good.
And I guess, so for a guy your size who's 6'4", 5'?
6'4", yeah.
6'4", is drinking 7% alcohol volume like a person my size just drinking a regular 3.2% alcohol beer?
It's hard to tell. I mean, because I want to know the difference, you know?
Do you want to swap brains for a minute?
We can, but I don't know.
I think it's like a guy that trains for a marathon in like Denver coming to like somewhere sea level to run.
and then running 100 miles without getting winded.
7% alcohol.
But it, you know, it was a good tasting beer.
And how was the wedding in Jamaica?
It was, it went off nicely. It almost started to rain. The best part I liked was that it was on the beach and there was just fucking people walking by behind us.
You see those all the time on like Reddit or internet or stuff where it's like people are getting married on the beach and there's just like a fat topless couple walking in the background or like a dog taking a shit or something.
But you know, it was it's typical kind of, you know, family. It was like Deanna's family and, you know, there was a lot of facets to it, a lot of stuff going on. And
a family politics, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, but I did get to meet her dad, and I was really nervous about that, but we got along pretty good. So that was my thing. And her grandparents were really, really
daughter
cool.
Daughter has an excellent vagina. I don't know if that comes from your side of the family. I'm ruining
like
this already.
You seem like a pussy.
She has her father's vagina.
Yeah, but he was really cool. And he's actually the guy that got her into like a lot of cool stuff growing up. He was the one that watched Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So we got to talk about comedy and stuff.
Not to be creepy, Jonah, but Deanna is adorable.
Thank you.
Saw her the other night at Meltdown. She was rocking the contacts, no glasses. Beautiful eyes.
Yes, yes.
I had never noticed them before because I'm like, just, you know, the glasses.
Yeah, just the big glasses.
Just the big glasses. But like her eyes are just stunning.
Yeah, they're great.
What
they're
about
great.
Greta?
Greta's eyes are beautiful.
Yeah.
haven't you learned what happens when you say things on the podcast? These things have consequences, Matthew.
That was for joke purposes.
Yeah, even okay, Chloe was just like, "It's like, look at you, you're gorgeous."
I know. I mean, like the whole that was a really fun. That was a really fun night too.
That was a fun night.
That was great. I stayed up. I was writing a Gadgetron that didn't air today. So
great.
Anyway.
Yes, let's bring it down our good time party.
No, I mean
with your dumb
with a
personal
medium
bullshit.
Time party. Hey, listen, I've had such a good time at the. I mean, I've been doing residencies this month at Comedy Bang Bang and at the Wednesday Meltdown
show. You've been doing
a
Los Angeles residency.
I've been performing pretty much every night to get ready for this comedy special that's taping February 17th. Which, by the way. Free tickets to that if anyone wants to go. I think I'll have details on that pretty soon.
Ooh, get there early.
Get there early. because we need to fill that fucking theater up with about 800 people. And I would prefer if they were people
Mar
that are...
Mar Myra open up for you.
Who?
Mar Myra is the person who's coming to Boston with us to...
On the Ticketmaster website, it says Mar Myra.
M-A-R-R...
Wait, just for the Boston show?
Yeah.
M-A-R-R.
And it's your hometown. That's great.
I know.
But I try to tell them.
I was going to tweet it, and I was going to be like, and then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, people were saying, Mar Myra must be Matt's evil twin. I was like, what are they talking about?
So we are going to be, we're going to the Wilbur Theater on May 4th. We're going to be taking the Nerdist Podcast to Boston, to the Wilbur Theater.
Home.
I'm very excited.
We're taking
I had
home.
An amazing time just when I went there alone last year. Mike Furman and I went.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like now with us?
Could be a lateral move. I don't know.
No, it is kind of.
I love that term. Feels like a lateral move.
Feels just like right across.
Yeah. Well, it's really sidestepping though, ain't it?
We can go to so many different Anna's Taquerias, you guys.
This shirt could be eggshell or it could be off-white. Your choice.
Canary.
I guess it's really...
Or
yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to being... like, the Wilbur Theater is a gorgeous theater
it's
and it's super fun. And to,
when I was
you
a
know,
kid, it's where I always wanted to go do something. Well, it was the Comedy Connection, which turned into the Wilbur Theater after the Comedy Connection at Faneuil Hall closed.
So wait, an 800-seat theater, is that how much it is?
About 800, yeah.
It was a comedy club?
No, what happened was the Comedy Connection, which was upstairs in Quincy Market at Faneuil Hall, that was the comedy club in Boston, and that closed like 4 years ago, and then they sort of took over... booking comedy at the Wilbur.
Hmm.
And now we'll be going there and doing the podcast, and I'm sure there'll be some sort of...
It's very exciting for me.
Taqueria.
Yeah.
Taqueria,
hey, how about that DC
taqueria.
Show, though?
Oh, my God.
That was incredible.
Fucking insane.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe that was like 2 weeks ago.
It was so much fun.
It really was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
DC the show that the AV Club heralded as skippable.
What?
I won't argue with them.
I always get confused.
I thought the show was a fucking blast.
They reviewed it, or it was just like in a roundup?
I don't know, it was probably like in a roundup.
I thought that 9:30 Club show was insane. It was so much fun.
I had a blast.
It was great.
I had a blast.
And Ellen McClain and John Patrick Lowry were so nice. Yeah. And they
just like hanging out with Storm in the back. That was like the first time I ever really got to kind of.
Storm came with his wife. And
they had blue suede shoes on.
He did have blue suede shoes.
But that was like the first time I ever really got to just kind of chat and hang out with him.
You didn't step on him, did you?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Don't step on those blue
He's great. Too. And they're in town. They're in LA right now because they're getting ready to go do the Sketchfest.
Oh, cool.
SF Sketchfest. Nice. I saw them last night. We had a book signing last night for the Nerdist Way book. And yes. I know it's months after the book came out, but we hadn't done one in LA at Meltdown. So we did Will Wheaton moderated a Q&A, and we talked about the book and basically how much we love each other. And then shut up, guys. It's fine.
When I walked in, I saw Alex, and I was like, how's that circle jerk going in there?
But it's really just a line jerk because it's just two of us. So it's not even really, we're not forming a circle. We're just forming 2 points of a line.
Yeah.
And then.
How are those two guys stabbing each other going?
Shiv.
We did Farmer John sent this huge hot dog truck out and they made hot dogs for everyone.
They had some good hot dogs
and signed stuff. And I didn't think anyone was going to show up. You can't, in mustard. You can sign a hot dog in mustard. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about the only way you can do it. Or hot cheese.
I would do it.
Hot cheese.
That sounds great.
Hot cheese.
I missed that.
Did you see hot cheese the other night at the Palladium?
Yeah.
They were really good. A hot cheese show.
They opened up for Mara Myra.
Better than the string cheese incident.
The String Cheese Incident? Was that the movie with Martin?
No, that's a band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe not to be confused with the Spaghetti Incident, which was an album full of covers by Guns N' Roses. From Cantors.
that was amazingly fun. So anyone who came into that was...
Vegas right after D.C.
Las Vegas?
Kristen Rutherford just flipped us all off.
Oh, Kristen Rutherford, writer for the Nerdist TV show. Hey, Kristen Rutherford.
Hi.
How's it going? What are you doing?
No.
Kristen, what are you doing? Come in. Come into the studio. Through the door. You don't have a pass. She's signing at me because she knows she knows sign language. She and Vinny taught their daughter how to sign.
Really?
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
It's insane.
Wow.
I think she probably little girl talks by now, but when she wasn't talking, she would just sign things and they go, "Oh, you're thirsty."
She deaf?
No.
Oh, that's really cool.
I mean, like deaf in the Russell Simmons sense. Yeah.
Like a jam.
But not deaf in the...
Dig.
But what I was going to say was the crazy circumstances of Las Vegas when I went. I told Jonah the story, but I didn't tell you, Chris. I met my friend John for dinner, who I'd known since fourth grade. He now plays dueling pianos at the Palazzo.
Oh.
That's what he does now. And I was like, hey, let's meet for dinner Wednesday after I wrap Attack of the Show. So it's like, okay, so we go looking for a place to eat. We walk through Caesar's Palace and we see Mesa, which is Bobby Flay's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we should try and put our name in here. And we go to put our name in and they're like, 9:45 is the next table. It was 7:00.
Yep.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. My friend Kevin Pollock knows Bobby Flay. And I bet he doesn't have to wait for a table at all. So, and he's like, why don't you text him? And I was like, that would be ridiculous to text him for that. Walking through the hallway leading from the Bellagio to Caesar's Palace, who do I see but Kevin and Jamie?
What?
Yes.
Kevin who?
Kevin Pollock.
And so did you complain to him that you didn't get your reservations the right amount of time? Because that's the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody.
I was just excited to see him. Because Greta and I were just talking about how we haven't hung out with them in a while. I don't think I'd seen them since my birthday. And we were just talking. I was like, where are you going? And he's like, oh, we're heading over to Mesa. And I was like, oh, I just tried to go there at 9:45, and he picks up his phone, does a text. He's like, get a table for four. Come on.
See, you know high-powered people.
And then we go.
Check out what happens at the end of it.
Which part?
The part where the fucking manager comes up.
Oh, yeah. Do you think
Kevin Pollak can get us into Mensa?
Probably not.
Mm. Okay.
So we tell him the story to the manager of the GM of Mesa Grill, and he's like... hands me his business card and says, you don't need Kevin anymore. If you're in L.A. or New York or in Vegas again. Just
so now when I go to Vegas, which I hate going to, I will text you to get into Mesa because I'm not going to wait two hours. I have things to do, like go on the internet.
Yeah. And then it won't work.
I couldn't get on the internet the entire time I was there thanks to Harris' wonderful facilities. Anyway.
But more importantly, Kristen Rutherford, you're on.
Go ahead, grab that microphone. Right,
Kristen Rutherford, writer for the Nerdist TV show, is here.
Hi.
Former writer of Attack of the Show, wife of co-executive producer of Attack of the Show, Vinnie Rutherford. And mom,
most importantly, a mom.
And mom, mom to Vivi, who knows sign language.
This is like Daenerys Stormborn, you know, like being Daenerys and announced this way.
You're getting a bunch of, like, Kristen, daughter of Martha.
The unburnt.
Wife of Vincent. Mother of Vivian. How are you?
Black of hair, blonde.
Black of eyes. What are you doing in the building?
I'm going to go get makeup put on me because I'm going to go watch Man on a Ledge. Is that right? That's the name.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that movie I like to call Phone Booth on a Ledge.
I know.
Or did you see the other trailer? There's two trailers for it. One that focuses on the guy on the ledge, the namesake, and then there's the other trailer that kind of has nothing to do with him, and it's about a quippy couple trying to save that guy's name.
Really?
Yeah. There's two completely different trailers for the movie.
Love it.
I love it when movies don't know how to market themselves.
I just want
to
I just want to see just the ledge's point of view. That's all I care about.
Just bird shit.
The point Why is he crumbling on me?
Then I have to talk about it afterwards. I'm doing the Totally Rad show.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know who I'm replacing. Last time I replaced Alex.
Well, what's going to happen? This you don't know this time.
It depends on whether the poison took.
What else are you working on? Are you going to come back and work with us on the Nerdist TV show?
Yes, I am.
Good.
I love that show. It's
good.
So good.
Well, you're
it
good.
It can be.
That's the quiet part.
You know, you should.
You know, the more
if you make Matt a cake, he'll punch half of it.
Yeah.
He'll just put his fist in half of it.
Yeah.
And you do
giggle,
make good
giggle
cakes,
the same
by the way.
I do. I make really good cakes. I tried making a cake yesterday, and I wasn't wearing my glasses, and I screwed it up so badly, and my daughter's walking around going, "Mommy messed it up! Mommy messed it up!" And so luckily, I have the superpower of being able to make cakes, and pull together quickly an apple dump cake, which sounds gross, but it's delicious.
Only because of the word dump.
Because the word dump is in it, but it's because you dump everything into the crock pot.
It's like watching an episode of Chopped.
Yes.
Here's a basket. It's a fucked up cake. That's all it's in the
Do you make any kind of theme cakes? Like, could you make some sort of a...
Like a light up cake?
Could you make like TARDIS cupcakes or...
Oh, yeah. I'm just lazy.
You're not lazy. Like, you show up to writer's meetings. You're like, oh, I just threw this together. It's just like these exquisite muffins.
But that's because it's a superpower. That's like my one... I'm a hot mess, except when it's time to bake a cake, I'm like, everybody, pay attention to me. And don't slip up because we're not leaving any, you know, nobody gets...
No cupcake left behind.
No cupcake left behind.
That's been Matt's mantra for a long time.
That's what I've said for years, hence my fatness.
It's how, like that Stephen King story. The run, the walk, what is it? Where they all...
Shawshank Redemption.
Not Shawshank Redemption. No. Andy the one where you just keep running and you fall apart and the last person standing. That's what baking with me is like.
Oh, it's not the Running Man?
Running Man.
Yes.
The Bachman book.
The Bachman, yeah, Richard, yes. Well, I love that you're coming back to the show. I also love that you taught your daughter sign language before she could speak.
I did.
It's adorable. It's little kids are just like chimps to begin with. They're just like these little, like, but then like watching a little girl, you know, tell you that she's hungry or thirsty.
Oh, I mean, other kids are like, and she's signing to me, "Mom, I want crackers." No, the goldfish crackers, you know.
Oh,
and
my God.
It's
so,
it's crazy.
So they do understand.
Oh,
they just
totally
it's
understand.
Just that I think it has something to do with the fact that their voice boxes have not migrated to the right part of their throat. So that's why they aren't able
they
to form words.
They just can't form the words. What? But right. They know what they want to say.
You didn't know that?
Is that what that is?
Yeah. That's what that is. Like their voice boxes need
they were just stupid.
They are, but they have to, their voice boxes have to migrate. They're stupid with bad voice boxes.
Oh, okay.
But the voice boxes have to
anthropological.
Yes, not from an actual intelligence standpoint.
Right. No, it's crazy how much. And when you teach a kid sign language, it's actually crazy how much they communicate. Like words that I'm very big on. Don't underestimate kids. They know what they're they know a lot more than you really think. And then I taught my kid sign language. It's like, holy crap, you know a lot of shit. Like, you remember things that happened that I don't remember that you're signing to me about now.
What was the weirdest, what's the weirdest word that you were surprised she knew?
Science.
Whoa.
I'm citing science.
It looks like two thumbs down.
Yeah, because you're pouring things into beakers.
Oh, okay. You're not going, boo.
You're not going science. Oh, God, for girls,
that
no
seems
way.
Very, like a very haphazard way of pouring anything into anything.
What did she want to know about science?
I don't know. She actually is close to being able to sign the Portal song.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I turned around
that's
in the
what
car
it is.
And saw her quietly doing.
You were signing the Portal. You were signing Still Alive.
Maybe.
I saw you signing Still Alive at the Nerdist TV show.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, I can do that.
So either that or she's a Thomas Dolby fan. She wants to hear She Blinded Me with Science.
It's not as good when you exclaim it in ASL.
Oh, that's... Oh, we should totally get you to do that. We should totally get you to sign the Portal theme song. Maybe we should do that on the next Nerdist TV show.
And so, now we're just going to take a quick break.
Yep, and here we
Kristen's
go.
Kristen's going to sign the Portal theme song.
This is a triumph. I would love that. Anything fun that you're working on before you go see Manilege?
Ninja Warrior.
Oh, nice.
Writing Ninja Warrior. Can't talk about it, but I love writing that
Let
show.
Let me ask you this. Does somebody win?
I can't tell you.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if a person wins.
I can't tell anybody.
Could be a person. It could be an alien race.
Okay, maybe you can tell me this. Does someone fall in water?
Maybe.
Okay. That's all I needed.
Maybe a lot.
It's hard.
One person falls in a lot. You know what? I'll be surprised when it happens.
When are they going to add alligators?
Wednesday.
When are they going to give me some new verbs?
What?
Jeez.
What budgetarily, what verbs are you?
Oh, my God. Total victory, brutal obstacles, punishing obstacles. It's the same. And when I first started writing that show, I tried to sort of give my own spin to it. And my producer, such a sweetheart, is like, this is so great. Can you just write it the way we've written it for the past 21 episodes? And I was like, okay, because it's a formula. They just don't.
It's really hard so it's to take your eyes off that show.
Oh, it's so good.
Because you got to not be able to tell if it's a repeat or not. That's the whole thing. Yes. Yeah, you just watch. I think I've seen this one.
The fireman wins this, right?
Yes.
No, he doesn't
No, it's
win.
The gas station worker.
The gas station attendant. Shingo Yamamoto.
Whoa.
Now, are you working with any of these people? Is Vinny worried about you working around these strapping young...
Japanese dudes.
These strapping young Japanese free runners and ninja types?
Nah.
All right.
No. They I only went to Sasuke 21. I was there. So I just see all the footage and people say to me, What do you mean you write Ninja Warrior? Do you speak Japanese? And I'm like, who do you think writes those terrible, terrible puns? They introduce them at the beginning, and if he's a sushi chef or he was a cook, I'm gonna say, oh, I guess it was too hot in this kitchen for this sushi chef or whatever. So I was like, my first script, the first time I wrote the show, the producer said, you're really good at those puns. And I was not happy.
Puns are great.
I was like, I know you're complimenting me, but I'm not happy with this.
You don't like puns?
They're not puns. They're bad.
Oh, I don't know that stuff.
See?
Yeah.
Bernardo puns?
Yes, Bernardo puns.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to hop by the podcast before you go see Man on a Ledge.
Man on a Ledge.
Maybe you'll have to come back and tell us if Man on a Ledge is worth.
It looks just like Phone Booth with Colin Firth. Remember that movie? Colin Farrell. Not Colin Firth. That would have been probably a better movie if it was Colin Firth.
But he's stuck in the phone booth and he's trying to...
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this film I'm about to see.
Everything you need is in the title.
Is Ed Harris is in it?
No. Ed Harris is in it.
Ed Harris is in it, as is Elizabeth Banks. There you go.
Okay.
And a ledge.
All right. Well.
You think?
Right,
well, maybe it's a metaphorical man on a ledge.
No, it's an actual man on a ledge, and then someone throws out money.
Spoiler.
You saw the trailers.
I haven't seen those either.
Well, you just did.
Ugh. You spoiled Ninja Warrior.
I did.
You said there were going to be people in it.
People are falling in water.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And they cannot speak English.
All right. Well, we'll see you within the next couple of weeks when we start writing the TV show.
Oh, yes.
Go and do makeup. A couple weeks?
Well, we're taping again in March. I think we're taping the next one in March.
Yay!
All right. Bye, Kristen Rutherford.
See you, Kristen.
Bye, Kristen man. Rutherford. There she goes.
Time has no meaning there. Star Trek was good this weekend. Lennon and Paul Scheer.
Oh, Star Trek.
Yeah. Fistful of Data's and Captain's Holiday. Captain's Holiday, if you ever go back and watch it, season 3, you get to see some very weird man camel toe on Patrick Stewart.
Really?
You don't know what's going on with his balls. It's very strange.
Hmm.
And he's shirtless for quite a bit of it, too. So and he's in very good shape.
He's in excellent shape.
Yeah.
Even still.
He was in really good shape in First Contact. I remember when he's swinging around engineering. Remember when he grabs the... Yeah, that's just me. Whatever.
Now, that I didn't...
You don't remember?
I mean,
he's in really good shape.
I know. I remember the warp signature, like called the Klingons, but I don't. I mean, it called the Vulcans, but not the.
Did it happen in something called Star Trek?
Yep.
Yeah, I probably didn't catch that then.
You did Star Trek. You were great.
Thank you.
That was a good show. Too.
That was fun. I did Term of the Nerds again this past weekend.
How was it at UCB?
It's great. It was awesome. John Morrison, who was a wrestler, and Ben Garant of Ben Garant fame, were the other two. Judges on it, and it was a blast. It was it's always fun. It's always fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Brad and Boyd went, came by.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to get to
Clements. We can't hear.
We have headphones on. I don't. It looks like you're saying stuff.
I really have no idea. Maybe if we stopped talking, we could maybe.
But I don't think we should because obviously he's doing it on purpose.
I don't want it to, because like, what if he's not saying anything and then it's just dead air?
Fuck each other to get over the weird tension that you have between each other all the time. What? I was just talking about, like, oh, my back is tense because I hurt my back.
Well, that's fair. Just walk it off.
In a Skyrim accident.
That's not a real thing.
It is a real thing.
You can't really hurt your back, though.
7 weeks of Skyrim. Level 34, my friend.
We talked a lot about Skyrim on the Indoor Kids Live podcast.
I'm still in it. I still have yet. I'm just about to complete the Dark Brotherhood quest.
I
haven't played it.
I just finished Batman, so now I'm ready to buy a new game. I have to beat a game before buying a new
one. How much of it did you complete?
Well, I did the story, and that's good for me.
Yeah.
I need to fucking wander around.
I love it. I love wandering. What I love about Arkham City, which differentiates it from Arkham Asylum, is that the bad guys stick around. Because after you beat the story of Arkham Asylum, there's no one left to fight.
You just need someone to punch.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, guy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
Maybe take it out on the people who wouldn't give you a table at Mesa.
Well, I wasn't
call your friend Kevin Pollock.
I wasn't mad that they wouldn't give me a table. It was a weird coincidence.
Why don't you call your food reservation agent Kevin Pollock, who can get your reservations?
He's a good man,
and he's a great man. I love Kevin. All right, here we go.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. See, it feels weird not being able to
feel
hear
weird.
Or
yeah,
hear me.
I know. I know.
I'm not being
really
able to reach anyone else's tone.
It's a question.
See,
yeah, it's bizarre.
And then it's a comment.
It's a question,
bizarre comment. Question. It's a bizarre one. This is a buzzement.
Buzzement. Buzzement. Okay. Let's mash up 9 words. This is from Silvatron. Why do dude stand-up comedians talk so much about poop and their balls, only then to launch into a tirade about how they're amazingly still single? Maybe put 2 and 2 together. An excellent point, Silvatron. Does the poop and balls material, does that help make someone single, or are they single so they just start thinking about poop and balls?
I think it's just they're already single and they're just, you know, thinking about what they talk about when they're making their friends laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's poop balls, jerking off, stuff like that. And that's why a lot of a lot of younger guys just guys that just think that's funny.
Listen,
you know?
Sometimes it doesn't matter. There's a good poop joke out there. You know, yeah. It doesn't matter.
All right, Silvatron. I don't know. I guess that I think maybe a lot of it is just for the stage.
Yeah.
And maybe we shouldn't take it too seriously.
No, it's they're up there to make jokes. So.
And it's a comedy set, so maybe you don't have to look at it like you're... Yeah. It's funny that one of the writers for the Nerdist website, a guy named Jake Kroger, wrote what I thought was a great piece about... it was just sort of in the wake of the whole Eddie Brill controversy, the guy who booked Letterman
yeah.
and made some disparaging comments about female comics and then was removed from that position.
Yeah,
and
was
so
crazy.
And so Jake's idea was like, you know, like with the Eddie Brill thing... Don't say that it's a thing of women not being funny. He said, people are not funny. Look at these cat videos.
Yeah.
People in general are not funny. It's yeah. not a sex thing. It's not male or female. As a species, we're not funny. Like I thought it was just a fun way to spin, you know, just like a weird comedy point of view.
Yeah.
And all these people dissected as if he was really being serious. And you just want to go, guys. It's
comedy.
Like, don't go to a comedy show with a notebook and then start taking notes and then trying to take apart all the premises like they're real. If you tried to dissect almost any comedian set, as if it were a lecture, it would sound horrible.
Well, what do you think about the whole thing that happened recently with Dane Cook and TJ Miller, where it's like TJ was like,
"What
like,
was that, by the way?" Because I missed that whole thing.
I wasn't there. But apparently Dane dropped by the improv. Was it?
Yeah,
dropped by the improv, which is rare because he usually performs the Laugh Factory. And I guess like bumped a bunch of comics and did a long time, which, you know, I was so close to tweeting at him, but I just decided not to get involved. So I guess now I'm getting involved because I'm saying it on the podcast. I just want to understand the rationale behind waltzing into a place and bumping a bunch of comics. Like, I don't care how famous you are. How could you be so unconcerned and not remember what it was like to be a young comic and to have someone come in and bump you to just basically jerk off on stage for an hour, not with material that's been crafted, but just like just trying to find stuff, I guess. I don't know. It's so unfair. And I really just wanted to know. I wanted to ask him sincerely, why do you think this is okay? Like, why is it okay to bump people? Why are you...
Don't you remember?
Why are you so special that you want to bump people for an hour planned to be there?
Chainsaw Horse Cunt? Was that the...
Oh, yeah. I think he said like... It had something to do with like chains. I think the quote was like, chainsaw fuck a whore or something.
Whore's cunt.
And so TJ Miller was live tweeting the experience.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, but then it became a whole thing. And then like Dane's whole thing was saying the comics can't be critics. So isn't that kind of what a comic is? Is like a social critic? Isn't that the whole idea?
It's pretty critical to say chainsaw
that's all
fuck.
They do.
I also don't understand. I just don't understand any of it. I'm so confused as to why it's okay to do that to other comics.
Yeah.
And I think there was some lack of awareness on his part because he sort of tweeted something to the effect of
just killed or something.
Like something really special happened tonight or something.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why. And listen, I'm not trying to start anything with Dane Cook. It's hacky to make fun of him.
Yeah.
But I do think that. I think that part of the problem that people have with him is that he seems to lack a certain awareness about what's going on. Like, rather than going,
blissful ignorance.
I was just being a weirdo. I don't know, whatever. Sorry about that. Yeah. Just to say,
but
like,
then to go, whoa, what I did was art. What you saw was beauty.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I will never understand it. Just be respectful of other comics, other people. If you want to drop in someplace, that's, you know, fine. Do 15 minutes. Don't just drop in unexpectedly and do an hour. That's why I don't perform at the Laugh Factory anymore. Because the last time I was there, he showed up and like bumped me and like four other comics. And, you know, he didn't get off stage until like 1:15 in the morning.
Wow. Yeah, not cool.
He went on at like 11:30 and went up until like, you know, 1:15, and there was just no crowd left. And it's like, I just wasted, you know, over 2 hours here when I could have gotten my reservation at Mesa.
Right? Did you call Kevin Pollak? Close personal friend Kevin Pollak?
I did not call him.
You know, in my brain, I really didn't see this going that way. Where you guys would just make fun of this forever. I can see how it's going to go.
Listen, it's not going to be forever.
It was a really cool story.
It's not going to
be. I just like enjoyed the coincidence of the fact that I had no idea he was in Vegas.
I'm teasing you because there are going to be people online who say, oh, you couldn't get a reservation at a fancy restaurant for 2 hours? Like, I'm just giving you
2:45.
Shit.
2:45. It was CES. It was
okay,
very busy
to be fair,
there,
you're right. 2:45 is...
You just gave more reason to why you would expect it to be
orders of magnitude worse than 2 hours. But yeah. I appreciate.
I was happy to just go to the Bellagio buffet.
I appreciate your story. I appreciate your story from the kismet angle of, and there's Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, it was like, whoa.
You summoned him.
Yeah, my brain.
He's ethereal.
I have powers.
He's ethereal.
I love the story.
What if you ran into him and he was like, whoa, a second ago I was just in my house over by the beach, and now here I... Well, what just happened?
405, I appreciate it. What just happened? He'd probably be happy. I got him past the traffic.
I think that would be good. Yeah, yeah. You willed him to Vegas. What else is... So the Dane Cook thing happened. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. I saw TJ the next night at Super Serious Show, which is even better than it was before.
They moved it to Fidodo, right?
Fidodo.
Fidodo.
Yes, Fidodo, another weird part of the city. But God damn it, if that show wasn't, there were hundreds of people there.
God, man, they do it right.
And the stage was incredible, and the crowd was great.
Man, I love those guys. I love that show.
Super serious show.
They started a new weekly show in Culver City in the back of this like Japanese gift store slash art gallery that also has a really good cafe with good beers and coffee and stuff like that. And they have a performance space in the back.
Beer,
it's
coffee?
It's crazy. Beers and coffee. And at the back, they have a performance space. And it's in Culver City, right near Sony on Washington. And it's a weekly show on Mondays. It was great.
Turning the laser to Meyer for a second, there is an experimental Starbucks in Portland that serves beer and wine.
They're actually going to start doing that in Southern California and Atlanta. Yeah.
If there's any place that people should not be getting drunk, it's a Starbucks. Have you seen the people who hang out in Starbucks? Those people do not need to be getting drunk.
I love it.
They come in drunk.
As they should.
Yeah.
They come in drunk and they leave energized.
But there, I think the whole plan that Starbucks has is that people will go there after work now.
Yeah, they're trying
they'll
to
go
fill the
before
afternoon.
Work. You know, they go there for coffee. After work, they'll go there to like just kind of have a drink with their friends.
Grande no whip pilsner with a shot of vanilla.
Ooh, God, that sounds good. You know, the fucking the worst drink. I get so much weight on that trip to Jamaica. It's Deanna's stepdad was just like, it's like, you got to try a. BBC with rum. It's a banana, Bailey's, and cream with rum in it. It's like a blended ice drink. And it's like, I was like, I don't want to be at a fucking resort with a ton of white people drinking the fruitiest
that sounds
drink.
Like the
it was
it
one
sounds
of the best
like the
things.
Movie cocktail.
No, it was one of the best things I've ever had.
It sounds like the booze version of the California roll smothered in lobster with the whatever the hell sauce. That
what?
Is. Yeah, it's like a baked. It's a thing that I've seen now at many sushi restaurants. Now that I've been looking for it, it's a BSCR or no BLCR baked lobster on a California roll.
Yeah, yeah. I know what that is. I know what that is. That's a lot of places you can get that Kabuki or any other kind of chain sushi place.
It's delicious.
And so this mega drink.
This is like the
Why did you say chain with such resentment? Why can't you just be proud of the American dream, Japanese people coming over here starting a chain sushi restaurant?
Yeah, I'm sure it's Japanese
and then
people
having to modify their food for the American eating problem.
I was actually looking forward to Anna's Taqueria until you said that we can go to all the Anna's Taquerias. It's a chain?
There's only a couple of them, yeah.
I think there's eight or nine.
Are they all like privately owned or are they
all owned by the
same guy? So that's cool.
They're good.
The guy that started Anna's Taqueria after he fought with his sister who owned Boca Grande, which is the other Taqueria in Boston.
I don't think Big Mouth is a good name for a
Boca Grande.
Yeah,
Boca Grande, and then there's also Baja Betty's. These are the three like
you're my Baja Betty.
Baja Betty's sounds like a whorehouse.
Baja Betty's is terrible.
There's a place. There's a three chain of Senior Fish. There's three of them.
Oh, I've heard of Senior Fish.
Yeah, there's one in Little Tokyo downtown. There's one in like Highland Park, South Pasadena-ish, and then there's like one in Eagle Rock. They're great.
That reminds me of this guy, John Frost, who used to work at K-Rock. He was the one that made all the drops for the station and all of the, you know, back when the station was like extra funny.
Yeah.
And he used to do this show called The New Detective, which was just these weird shorts that they would run on K-Rock of this insane, narcissistic detective. And this was like in the 80s or 90s. And he had a sidekick. And that's every time the sidekick would go, Senior Dick, he'd go, well, then quit looking. Which is like, you know, like on radio in the 80s.
Wow.
Oh, radio in the 80s.
Oh, radio in the 80s.
We're radio of the 2000s.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Oh, so one of these days we're gonna get this instant replay sound effects board up and running.
I've tried.
I would love
I've
it.
I've tried so many times.
Something happens. We just got to get the output. We gotta just hook it up to some speakers.
I have to tell you something really fun that I did thanks to Doug Benson a couple of weeks ago at CineFamily. He did a movie interruption for Cocktail.
Oh yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh, you know what
so fucking fun.
I went to
Wayne Federman and Anthony Jeselnik were on it too.
Oh nice. I went to the Wayne Federman International Film Festival.
It was part of the Wayne Federman International Film Festival.
I went and Gary Shandling introduced King of Comedy. Martin Scorsese
that's
King
awesome.
Of Comedy. It was so cool. It was also just neat seeing Gary Shandling make fun of Wayne Federman for like a good 20 minutes.
I saw it when Wayne was signing his book about Pete Maravich. at Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Gary Shandling introduced him and made fun of Wayne Fetterman for a little while. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I have to say, Cocktail is a fucking time capsule, that movie. It is the 80s wrapped up in one, but not like the cheap, shitty 80s movies that we always watch and made fun of. Like, it's a high budget 80s movie.
Well, even down to the fact that the logo for the poster art is neon.
Yeah. It's neon.
Just like, even that. Just
and the fucking bar that he wants to open is called Cocktails and Dreams. Cocktails and Dreams! Come on!
That's a rebuff of the one you wanted to do, Cocks and Dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Slightly different menu. slightly different menu. I'm like, why isn't there not a Hooters for guys? With guys.
For guys, yeah.
With guys.
Just, why are there Hooters for guys? Yeah. Why do they make all this porn for girls?
I mean, come on. Can I have a dick near my burger?
You sure can. Just ask.
Okay.
Just text me.
He'll call up Kevin Pollak and bring a...
Listen, so what we want to do is we want to get some dicks near these burgers.
Not bad.
That's not great.
I got to work with Vanilla Ice recently.
That video was amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Your video that you made with Vanilla Ice going hipster. That was incredible.
Thanks. Yeah,
He seems funny. Like he
got it. You know, he got it for the most part. But the one thing, it was like when he has to say Coachella in it, and he said, and like he was like Coachella, and I was like, no, it's like Coachella, like the music festival and the desert. He's like, I don't know what that is.
Oh, all
right. I was like okay, and and it, like, he kept on referencing, like,
that's
like,
how cool he is. Yeah, he doesn't even know what Coachella is.
And he was talking about, like, it's like, you know, it's like, give me some coffee. Hipsters drink coffee. And I was like, yeah, like a 90s hipster, like a grunge hipster hanging out at coffee shops.
But the cover that he, the Ice Ice Baby cover that he and Mike Henry did.
Yeah, Mike Henry arranged it. And, you know, it's too bad we couldn't really show it to anybody. But he did do, while we were kind of setting up another shot, he just grabbed the guitar and started singing Every Rose Has Its Thorn pretty fucking well.
What, did you get that on tape?
No, I was setting up something.
Come on!
Yeah, we were setting up the next shot, and then I just kind of came back over, and he's like...
To be fair, it's a pretty easy song to play.
I know.
But
it's
he
just,
could
it's,
sing it.
It's just CGCG, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, that's like that song at the end of Fubar, Balls to the Wall. Perfect.
Fubar 2,
Balls to the Wall. You still have to watch that.
Maybe
don't
we
you?
Should have Vanilla Ice on the podcast and have him sing Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
He'd do it. He's promoting his DIY show.
He'd do it, but Bret Michaels would sue us.
No, they wouldn't.
He seems litigious.
It doesn't. We can cover. He could. Ice could come in here and cover Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
We have advertising. I think there's. We're in a different world now.
Listen.
Next live show.
If we got sued by Bret Michaels because Vanilla Ice performed Every Rose Has Its Thorn on the podcast,
do you have
any idea how much press we'd get for this fucking show? Bring it on. That would be amazing.
That would be hilarious.
That would be awesome.
You know the story. Any judge would be like. Really? This is why we're all gathered today? I put on a robe for this.
And it's on a what? A podcast, sir. I don't fucking know what that is.
I have kids. I don't know what the fuck they listen to. Case dismissed. Yeah. What? You didn't even hear any of the sides. I have to take this robe off.
It's so itchy. Why do they make it? And another thing. These gavels are a
Judge
bit old.
Andy Rooney.
I watched Paradise Lost 3.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's a bummer. Even though they get out at the end, it's so not even bittersweet. It's just so shitty the way it went down.
Mm.
It's such a shame.
That's what I imagine Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close to be like. Just a bummer.
They're saying that's the worst reviewed movie with the most nominations. Like, there's never been a movie that's been that poorly reviewed with as many nominations as it has.
The LA Times wrote an article online just about Patton tweeting all of the people who got snubbed by the Academy.
Really?
That was really funny. He was just like...
Well, Albert Brooks should have been nominated.
Albert Brooks, and he was like, Charlize Theron just showed up. We're going to go to Legoland. He incorporated everyone.
Oh, nice, nice.
Classic Patton.
Classic Patton.
I was surprised that Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt both got nominated. Moneyball's good. I mean, it's good, but...
Looked too sportsy for me. Yeah. Had the word ball in it.
I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yep.
Yeah. I can watch a sports movie I don't know what it is.
Like
it's just
a League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. I love a League of Their Own.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, I really like a League of Their Own.
I love it so much.
How's the song go?
We are the members of the All-American League. We come from cities near and far. We are Canadians, Irish ones, and Swedes. We're one for one, we're all American.
Except for the Canadian we just mentioned briefly.
Yeah, well.
Matt Myra, you're my Rockford Peach.
Oh, my God.
See? Now you're getting it.
I'd rather be a received bell because they win.
That Betty.
I always felt like more of a Kit.
Oh, you're a Kit.
Man. I always feel like Bill Pullman.
Oh, yeah.
The
leg.
One scene
your
he's
leg,
in.
Your leg.
Yeah, yeah. My leg acts up. I feel like Bill Pullman. That's why I want to start doing just like having references to movies where it's just really vague. My leg's being a real Bill Pullman right now.
What do you mean?
The scene in League of Their Own.
You mean you tore your ACL?
He's in that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they should rename tearing your anterior cruciate ligament as the Bill Pullman.
Because
his name's got Pullman in it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, oh, I pulled, you know, like it's
well,
a Pullman.
Well, that seems more like a hamstring thing.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
Bill Pullman, my hamstring. God.
All right, so we'll make anterior cruciate ligament the Mira Sorvino.
Oh, man.
I don't like Mira Sorvino.
Do you know her?
No, she just pronounces her name weird.
Well, that's a good reason to judge someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Should be Myra Sorvino. Just saying.
Oh, that's true.
Except that.
I thought didn't even really think about it. I thought you meant her last name. I was like, yeah, but her dad never started.
Matt Myra Sorvino.
Yeah. Oh, we could do it.
So we're gonna put you in Mighty Aphrodite.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Which part do
we're gonna make a video of you in Mighty Aphrodite starring Matt Myra Sorvino. Dozens of people will be delighted.
That's high.
Dozens upon three more people will be delighted by me.
You would have to know so many things for that to make sense to you and then be funny. Yes, we could, of course. We could, yes, we definitely.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Oh, you know what else I watched?
No.
Ty West's new movie, The Innkeepers, starring our friend Pat Healy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That was a really good, creepy movie. He was the guy who made House of the Devil, which I thought was a really cool kind of parody. Not parody, but like, you know, a period 80s horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this one takes place in current day. It's really good, really creepy.
All right.
Recommend it. The Innkeepers. I believe you can buy. You can rent it on demand right now.
You know what came into the pawn shop last night on Pawn Stars, you guys?
Mm-hmm. See, I'm talking about entertainment. Things
Mary
that people worked
Ford's,
hard on.
Mary Ford's SG Custom Les Paul.
What?
Mary Ford. Les Paul's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Her nephew brought it in to sell. And
that's,
it had all this paperwork
that's
with it.
Heartbreaking.
That's so sad.
I know it's sad, but it had all this paperwork with it, with Les Paul's signature on it, like about him wanting to leave Gibson because he hated the design of the SG, and he's like, I don't know if we should sign with them again, you know, and it had like all these repairs that were done on it, probably by Les Paul.
Wow.
And it's this, it's a beautiful white
SG. Did they buy it?
With gold. Yeah, they bought it for $90,000. That is an amazing deal, I think. For that
should be in a museum. That belongs in a museum.
You belong in a museum. yeah, but that. Oh God.
Is that how the guy responds?
Yeah.
For some reason, anytime I think of someone responding to Indiana Jones, I want to go, I'm sorry, Dr. Jones, but it is you who belongs in the museum.
No.
I always want them to be German with a, like.
I'm sorry, the response, because the nerds will hate us if we don't get it right. The response to that line is, so do you.
So do you.
Yeah.
Yeah. On off the shore of Portugal.
Exactly. Dan Aykroyd's in that scene.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
Dan Aykroyd shows up.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
He's also in the beginning of Twilight Zone.
So when you get off a plane, you could be like, I'm doing
with Albert Brooks.
With Albert Brooks.
Yeah. When you get off a plane now, you say, I'm doing a Dan Aykroyd. And then they'll be like, what are you talking about? And I'll be like, you know, that scene when Dan Aykroyd gets off the plane in Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom. It's like a Bill Pullman. It's more obscure.
Oh, wait, you just combined.
No, it's Temple of Doom.
I thought it was like, it belongs in a museum, so do you.
Yeah,
that's the, I'm pretty sure that was Last Crusade.
No, it wasn't Last Crusade.
Not Last Crusade?
I don't think so.
It's on the deck of that ship. That's Portugal. That's the one, right?
Yes, and that's in
Temple of Doom.
Am I mixing it up?
Yeah, I think you're mixing it up.
No. So the beginning of Last Crusade. He's River Phoenix.
He's River Phoenix.
He's with that fat kid. Spielberg trope. Fat kid. And he's like, oh, I got to get that. It belongs in a museum. First time he's probably ever said it. Keep it on. Yeah. And then he gets it. And then they see a guy with a hat. A hat you might find to look very familiar. And then he gets on a horse. He rides the horse over. And then he gets onto a train. Falls in. Whip. Yep. The whip is there now. Now he's got the whip, and he's got the scar.
Can you read
and then he gets back up, and then he gets in, and then he falls in. He hates fucking snakes.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of
snakes, and then Superman
and then
comes.
Goes inside the magicians. And then all of a sudden he gets down. Where is he? Opens up the thing. It's gone. And then he's running down the way. He gets over to his dad's place. His dad sounds a lot like Sean Connery.
Everyone has tuned out of the podcast now. Unsubscribed. We've lost all our listeners now. Will you look at them quivering like a little bitch? Yeah.
Should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers.
But then
you can see
the guy puts the hat on him, goes down, and then it goes all of a sudden.
And then it's wet.
He turns up. It's
Jonah
wet.
Listen, Ice is back with a brand new edition.
Jonah is correct. I'm referencing Temple of Doom. You know what it was? Nighttime, rainy. That's my problem.
Word to your mother.
I think of the
that would be amazing.
Just out of nowhere.
I don't know what just happened on this show.
They're gonna go and look.
They were talking about one Indiana Jones movie, and then Chris started singing the Superman thing, and then it ended with what the
and
fuck?
Then Dan Aykroyd is in the fridge, right? And that's how they survived the bomb.
Yep.
Fun.
I
don't know where to go after
that.
There was an album that came out last week by this band called The White Wires.
Yep.
And I really liked it. And I think it's called WWII is the name of the album. Really cool, fun garage rock stuff. I just kind of threw up on the Twitter. I saw that they had a tweet.
Gross.
And I said, hey, this is the album from The White Wires. It's really good. And it turns out one of the guys in the band, big Nerdist fan, been listening since the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you, White Wires.
He's gonna send us. So everyone, I recommend checking it out if you like kind of just already fun, poppy, garage rock, surfy kind of stuff. It's good.
Yeah. Well, Dave Matthews Band's working on a new album. Steve Lillywhite's producing
broken
again.
Record. Pawn Stars. Greta's horrible.
Greta's great.
Pawn Stars. Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. Don't forget about Storage Wars.
Boston.
Yeah. You're summing me up so well.
Red Sox,
yeah.
Boston. Uh-huh. And Cockerill,
yep.
Can you read my mind?
What else am I thinking?
Can you make fun of the things
again?
I'm thinking of?
Nope. Mm-hmm. You're close.
Can you read my mind? Can you picture the things I'm thinking of?
Yeah, that's still, that guitar, by the way, is still on eBay. The left-handed Dave Matthews Martin.
And how much is it for
now?
$10,000. Do not do it.
No, I won't do it.
Cut to Matt, like Greta, you have to hold me back. He's in his underwear with his fingers shaking on the buy button.
Oh, I've had so many of those near fucking misses. Every day
I just need a cloth. I just need a cold cloth and a minute to just focus.
Can you get that for me? I'll be okay.
Just
go in the kitchen, get me some water, Greta. I'll be okay.
I got it. What?
Someone sold my Martin on eBay for $8,000. John Mayer Martin that I have.
Someone stole my Martin box set for about $8.
Man.
George R. R. Martin.
Gina.
I would love to see Martin Lawrence in Game of Thrones. George R. R. Martin.
It's called Black Knight.
Oh, hey, well done.
Wait, Dark Knight? What is it called? No, what is it called? It's Black Knight, right?
What?
When he goes back in time?
Yeah.
I think.
God, I don't want to be racist.
By the way, someone in this room got a snazzy new apartment. Who is it, Matt Myra? Who is it? It's so cute.
It's you?
No, you did.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Thanks
I did.
Too.
Finally. Greta and I got a place. We found a place that we both liked. Met all of our criteria. We liked it. They didn't check our credit. That's our criteria.
I don't know how you find a fucking building anywhere in Los Angeles that doesn't check your credit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know either. But when the dude said it, I was like, oh, yes, we like this place. And then I'm like, we have to take it.
We have to. Now, there's no other choice.
It sounds like a shady operation. You know they're going to be asking you to drop off a package.
You know what's funny is it's
just
not.
Just don't ask any questions.
I Googled them, the people that run the building, and they're in the LA Business Registry. Their yearly revenue is $2.5 million. Their number of employees is 4.
Okay.
So it's like it's a small family business.
Right.
And where is it exactly?
A small family business.
Or the business?
The apartment.
It's nearby.
Like, what's the...
I can't say the address.
Yeah, you can.
Because people will rape me.
I think you think a lot more highly of yourself.
No, they would. The federal government has allowed that to be a thing now. Dudes can get raped officially. Before, it wasn't a thing.
Wow.
But now it's a thing.
Now it's a thing.
So you think people are going to come do that?
Yeah, probably, now that it's against the law.
Yeah.
It's a great place. It's a townhouse, and it's got 2 floors, and I'm going to have an office, which is going to be fantastic. I can put my guitars out of the fucking living room, not have to have them out. I got a nice, finally my writer's desk has a room to actually be what it was meant for and not just a table that collects crap. So I'm pretty excited about it.
That's great.
Looking forward to finding a 73-inch or higher television. I need a large television.
That's not large. That's fucking behemoth.
Yeah.
It's pretty huge. 73 inches.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to watch like Dave Matthews concerts on Blu-ray and stuff like that. So
I need to feel like I'm going into the pawn shop with the people. I need to feel like I'm digging through the storage bins.
Hey.
Oh, she makeup's great.
Kristen. Gorgeous.
Good job.
She was really hot before, though.
Yeah, it worked out.
Kristen is a beautiful, smart, wonderful lady.
I know. And then, like, I don't understand why she's still with Vinny. He's so, I'm Vinny. Look at me.
Well, I think... that any stresses you had about your job before are about
remedy.
To get solved.
That was a joke. Vinny knows that. We actually, Kristen and I conspired together to get Vinny a birthday present. We had my friend Joe from back home send overnight sausages from this place in Methuen that Vinny
loves. Sorry, you mean Methuen and you just have a lisp?
I don't mean that.
Methuen?
Methuen. We got the sausages next day. Of course, UPS fucked up and didn't get it to me until the day after. I unpacked them. They were packed in an urn box. So a nice, tight little box.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck yeah.
I was fucking
you
it.
Shoved those sausages in that tight little box?
5 pounds of sausage.
I am so not proud of myself right now for what I just said.
But anyway, took them out and the ice had melted, but the sausages were still cold. So I immediately put them in the freezer. And it worked out because he ate a bunch and he's not dead.
Man, what a roller coaster of a story. At first, I was like, what about the frozen? They're still frozen.
I'd call it more of a carousel.
You know what? I'll just hit this button.
No, buddy. Fine, we love you.
No, no. Let's go back.
No.
I know. I'll say it's more like a seesaw with one person on it. It's just...
Actually, that is a fucked up story, though. Did you get any sort of a refund or anything for shipping?
Oh, by the way, it cost $135 to overnight that.
And they didn't get it to you on time.
And it was supposed to be here by 3 o'clock, and I waited at work until 7 p.m.
Did you call Kevin Pollak? What?
I wanted to.
He could have helped.
I wanted to. He probably could have. Unlike you.
No, I would not be helpful. UPS, this is Lieutenant Columbo.
Oh my God, it's Columbo!
Calling. I did one more question. Or wait, so the sausages
Kevin's
were sent out.
I'm going to do Star Trek, which I'm.
Oh my God, that's going
to
be amazing. That's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah, his Shatner is.
When's that going to happen?
I think he's going to do it in February.
And let's just for a second, before we end this podcast, talk about a little guy I know in this room called Jonah Ray.
It's me.
Who's going to be recording his comedy album at Meltdown on Friday, January 27th.
When's this going up?
It'll go up before.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you are in the LA area.
Los Angeles.
Louisiana. I'm doing it in Louisiana.
Oh, this is weird. Yeah. I thought it was at Meltdown. Meltdown in Louisiana?
Chateau Meltdown.
In the comics quarter.
Mm-hmm, in the comics quarter, yeah. It's so crazy.
Hey, he watched Cajun Pawn Stars, so...
I just saw a clip at work.
Oh.
But it was nice being able to finally talk to Matt about something we've both seen within the past 10 years.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch anything that's good and have... did you see that movie?
I'm so busy. So your album, you're recording
Sorry,
your album
I'm recording meltdown. My next 7-inch record. For AST Records, at 8:30
p.m.
p.m. at Meltdown Comics.
That's good, because morning
theater.
Comedy is not good.
Easy. No. It's not easy.
No.
Stern does it every day, but other than that.
But, yeah, if you are in the Los Angeles area, it's a free show. There will be drinks for free as well. It'll
nice.
Just kind of a thing. If you want to come out and laugh at the jokes really hard, make it out. If you are indifferent of me, go fuck yourself. Don't come.
You know where I'll be while you're recording your stand-up album.
I know.
I'm going to be in Santa Cruz recording They Might Be Giants for the podcast.
But no one's allowed to that.
You know where I'll be when he's recording his album and you're in Santa Cruz.
Sketchfest.
I'll be at Cobb's Comedy leading a conversation with Thomas Lennon, Ben Garant, and Carrie Cunningham.
Yes.
So we're all doing fun things that day.
Yeah.
This podcast is splintered, guys.
What's the name of your album?
Hello, Mr. Magic Plain Person. Hello.
I snorted.
It's a line from the Mystery Science Theater movie.
Oh,
just like the first one.
That's adorable.
Yeah, but it'll be on 7-inch vinyl. But if you buy the record, the vinyl record, you will also receive a download code, so you can still get the MP3s and listen to it, and you can have a cool keepsake vinyl if you have that too. But it'll also be available on iTunes and Amazon. Thanks to the good folks at AST Records.
Unless you have like one of those really cool old Bentleys that had a record player in them.
Which seems great for an automobile.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Got to have good shocks. But yeah, I think it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to doing another one.
I'm looking forward to I'm really bummed out that I can't be there. But.
I am too. I'm really sorry I can't be there.
It was supposed to kind of be earlier, and then just like AST guys, they're like, it's like, money-wise, we need to have spent that money by this time. And so just like, I'll do it then. Then we can get it going. It's a bummer, but you know.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
But it'll give me something to, you know, have when we go do the live shows too.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Are you gonna sell that?
Yeah.
I mean, can't sell it.
Why not?
It should be free.
Yeah?
Yeah, comedy to the masses. Come on, man.
All right, stop.
Collaborate
and
listen.
That's
one of the other ideas we had for Vanilla Ice, which was it was a talk show called Stop, Collaborate, and Listen.
Oh, that's great.
And it was just like every time someone starts just to talk about an issue, it goes like, all right, stop. Let's all collaborate. And they all start talking again. He's like, listen. It was just a real dumb idea that we had at 2 a.m.
I would like to see him like go farther from Silver Lake, like into Echo Park, and perform as Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Vanilla. It would be
Vanilla Ice.
Bobby Bonilla. Yeah.
Damn it, I want to learn more Spanish so bad. I just want to be able to speak Spanish.
Rosetta Stone?
I have it. Furman got it for me for my birthday. I mean, I understand basic bits of Spanish from Italian. I took Latin. Yeah. I mean, I studied Latin and Italian, and Italian's very similar to Spanish.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought like you took Spanish.
I know chunks of Spanish, but if someone starts talking to me really fast, then then I have to stop them.
Hmm.
The Bobby Bonilla, by the way. He was a baseball player for the Mets, mm-hmm. and he retired in 99. But the way his deal was structured with the Mets, they are paying him like $1.6 million for the next 25 years.
A year?
Yeah.
Why?
That was the way they structured his deal. They re-signed him, but they decided to pay it out over a long period of time. So
oh, wow.
Bobby Bonilla.
So like it was like a lottery kind of thing where you could get it all now.
Lump sum or you could get it spread out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Smart.
Nearly 6 million. Vinny's. Yeah, anyway, I'm just reading about it.
And that was your it's sports so second with Matt Myra on the Nerdist podcast.
That's all the time we have for sports. Your sports second.
Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Stop it. I don't care.
The white and blues versus the blue and whites, man.
I don't even know. The only reason I asked someone when the Super Bowl was, and they were like, it's February 5th. Why? And I go, well, I don't give a shit about the Super Bowl. That's just the anniversary of our podcast, is Super Bowl Sunday.
I suggested to Jonah that we just cancel Matt Myra's day off and do a live fucking like tweet up podcast where we just do an anniversary show on February 5th.
Oh, I'm going to be shooting something that day. Let me see if I can get out early enough, because that would be really fun. Because
that would be like a cool thing to do.
That would be really fun.
And just have it all be Quemens.
Yeah, we could do that. All right, let me see if I'm going to be done with this thing that I'm shooting.
So mysterious. Oh.
Why? What are you talking about? Don't worry about it. It's just a mystery. Why must you be fascinated by my closet of mystery? No, it's not. It's not. That's not the full line. I can't remember what the full line is.
Why must you be so... Now I gotta look it up.
Oh, and for those of you wondering if I put my per diem check on black, didn't work out.
See?
Oh, also, what else? Oh, the new John K. Samson, frontman for the Weaker Thans. He put out a solo album. John K. Samson, that's very nice if you like the Weaker Thans. That's good. Some good stuff. The new single by Sleigh Bells kills. It's fucking amazing.
Jenny Owen Young has a new single out that's really good, too, and I just can't remember the name of it.
A Surf just released an album today, this week. I'm not sure if you kept up.
They're good. Not a Surf's good.
Yeah.
Just a happy kid.
That song? You know that song? Yeah. It sucks because I liked that album with Popular.
Yeah.
And
what happened? That high school sued them? Was that what it was?
Was that what happened?
Yeah, the high school sued them for using their uniforms.
Oh, without Jesus.
Consent or something like that. That's why they were disappeared for a little while.
What is your fascination with my forbidden closet of mystery?
Well, I'm glad we settled that.
Oh, good. Oh, I feel like I just gave birth to a knowledge baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Bobby Vinnie is only making $500,000 a year.
Well, I'm glad we...
Oh, never mind. That's also from Baltimore.
Enjoy your bonita.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 65th National Finals of Distinguished Young Women.
Every year, one girl from every state leaves her family, her whole life behind, for 2 weeks and spends each day training, practicing, preparing. Because to win this competition, she needs to wow a panel of judges with her academic record, her athletic ability, her speaking skills, and a show-stopping talent.
I met her and I was like, she's gonna win.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
When I sing that song about being a black woman in America, there's gonna be backlash about that.
Oh, I'm just so happy. So happy.
I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them.
And then we stayed with them for the next year, unpacking just what happened those 2 weeks in Mobile. I'm Shimol Yai, and from Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.